So we're thankful for your willingness. So let's pray. God, we again come to you this morning. Thank you for Lee and for his willingness to come to share your word with us. God, we are looking forward to what you have for us today, and I pray that you would give him strength, courage, and wisdom, and words, that which would bring you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Thank you.
Well, good morning. It's been a blessing to be here this morning and this weekend. I appreciated the word that was taught in Sunday school and the word that was sung in song. It's a blessing to my heart. It's a blessing to see a group of people that love the Lord and want to be sensitive to his leading and his direction. This morning, the topic that was assigned to me was a church's response to its leaders. There's a lot of ways, different directions one could go with this. There's certainly the material way and the physical way that you support and encourage your leaders, or ways that you can. Those are very important, and they are a great encouragement to your leader, whether that is through financial support for them and their work, and I'm sure you have something in place for that, and I certainly recommend that. Certainly not in a way that would enrich them, but simply support them for the times that they have to sacrifice income duties to support the work of the Lord. Certainly is a blessing to do that, but it does require some sacrifice. There's other ways that you can bless and support your leadership is through, I think Sandra listed a number of things this morning, through writing notes of encouragement. I can attest to that. That is something that means a lot to me. Some people it doesn't. I believe every leader is probably different in what speaks to him. There's been one particular situation in my mind that I remember where I was very low. It seemed like I was struggling alone, working through some issues in the church. And I received just a little handwritten note in the mail from somebody at church. And that simple act of kindness just raised my spirits and gave me what I needed to get through another week. And so those types of things are very important. You talked this morning about cleaning the church and cooking. Very important. I think as Sandra said, with little as much when God is in it. And that is a very important concept to realize. But ultimately you ask the question, what drives people to do those acts of kindness? What drives people in their own personal prayer time to remember their leaders, their pastors, and pray for them as well? We all carry with us a burden. In our lives there are situations that we pray about possibly on a daily basis, and they are a great concern to us. And those things may only be a concern to us. They may be something in our family. They may be things that the rest around us are not aware of. But they are a heavy weight to carry. And we all have those things, and we all bring them to the Lord. But in the midst of all of our own personal weights and our own personal concerns, it's a blessing when we take time to also lift to the Lord our leaders. And what is it that drives us to do those acts of kindness? I ultimately believe is our love for the Lord, our love for the church, and a desire to see our church, God's church, to be effective and to be important in the lives of those that are a part of it. And so this morning, I've chosen to look at this from a bit of a spiritual perspective, because I believe that when the spirit is right, many of those other things fall into place in somewhat of a natural way. When our hearts and our lives are in tune with the Spirit of God, and God and His work is foremost and frontmost in our lives, we tend to think along those lines of doing things that can be a support and an encouragement to the church and to its leaders. And so as we look at the spiritual nature of this morning, we recognize that a right spirit and a connection with God not only is a benefit to our church and our leaders, obviously it's of great benefit to us, it's of great benefit to our families and those that we come in contact with. The Apostle John said in 3 John chapter 1 that he says that I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. As a pastor, I can identify with that as John was thinking of those people that were in his charge and those that he had ministered to. He says there's nothing that is of greater joy than to hear that they walk in truth. And your pastors are the same way. There's a sense of spirit and unity in the church, and you feel the church working and pulling together, there is no greater joy in the life of your leaders than to sense that you are walking in truth. You can open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read the full chapter here to start out. And this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or all things present, or all things to come, all of them are yours. Ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Friday night, we looked at the qualifications for leaders. And I believe this passage is somewhat, we could say, qualifications for the congregants of a church. And the Corinthian church was surviving here in a culture of sin. And this morning, as we look at this idea of being babes in Christ and being carnal, I'm not assigning that to this church. In fact, as I've spent 2 weekends here with this church, I can attest that this is not a congregation full of babes in Christ or infants in Christ. I've sensed with here clearly a spirit of maturity in Christ. The way that you have worked through this licensing is a testament to your spiritual maturity. And Certainly we know that times of transition of leadership and adding leadership, those can be times of stress and difficulty, but your spirit here has been a great encouragement to me this weekend. There are, I believe, 8 different points that I want to pull from this passage, if you care to write them down as we go through. As I read through this passage, these are 8 things that stuck out to me that are, I believe, are important for a believer and a member of the church. And these are ways that you can support your leaders. And the first one that I want to talk about really is this idea of personal responsibility. I think the theme, if you look at this passage, the whole theme of this passage really is personal responsibility. Where Paul is calling to the Corinthians, and he's not criticizing necessarily the leadership here at Corinth, but he is calling out to the people of Corinth and saying that you have been Christians for a period of time, but the sin and the immorality in society around you is affecting you to the point where you have not been able to grow in a spiritual way. And Paul is really somewhat chastising them verbally here for that lack of growth. And it really is human nature, is it not, to when things are not going well in our lives, when our spiritual growth and our spiritual life is not where we feel it should be or we know where it should be, it's easy sometimes to look around to others. And I've certainly heard comments, and I'm sure you have as well, as people that saying that my church, the preacher just isn't very good. The sermons just are not very good. I just don't feel the Spirit of God in that church. And so that could possibly be the case, but as we look in later in this chapter, the Spirit of God is, we are the temple, and the Spirit of God lives within us. And so many times when I hear that, I question not as much the church, but the individual in my mind, because why is that person not receiving any food, any spiritual food from the Word of God? I believe when the Word of God is read, the Word of God is proclaimed and taught, I believe it is of benefit to all of us. And so Paul here is really calling these people to a sense of personal responsibility in their own spiritual and personal life. I think it's fair to say that if your spiritual food consists of from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock Sunday mornings, if that is the extent of your personal and spiritual input into your life in a spiritual way, you're going to remain an infant in Christ. There is no way that your leaders in a 30-minute sermon can give you enough of spiritual food for you to make it through to the next week. There's a personal responsibility that is involved with us as believers to spend time in the Word and to take ownership of our spiritual condition. That is what Paul is calling to the people here. And so, how do we support our leaders in this area? Primary personal responsibility for our own spiritual growth. The second one that I see is avoiding carnality. If you look in verse 3, he says, "For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not yet carnal?" The evidence he shows here for carnality is jealousy, which is an attitude, strife, which is an action, and division, I believe, which is the result. And so that may be uncomfortable for us to hear, but because we know that there is from time to time strife and unrest and division within churches. But Paul is saying that when that is the case, that is the evidence of carnality in our lives. And so how can you help your leaders by avoiding carnality? There is no greater time of stress and pressure on a leader than when their congregation is going through times of division and difficulty. Those times, the stress of those times is probably greater than a couple of years of good times all put together. And so Paul's call here for us to avoid carnality is one way, an important way, for us to not only support our own spiritual lives and support the church, but to support our leaders as well. The third one that I have is be uncommon. If you look at the end of verse 3, he says, are you not carnal and walk as men? Paul is saying here that if we are engrossed in jealousy and strife and division, he says that leaves little separation between us and the common man. Leaves little distinction between us and the unregenerate person on the outside. I was reminded of this as I was studying. My son Clay and I enjoy taking care of bees. We have a couple of hives, and we raise honey for ourselves and some of our friends. But years ago, we joined, as we were learning this, we joined a bee club in a local city, and we're loosely attached to that through the years. And recently, just a reminder of the way that unregenerate man deals with their struggles. The club has been in a power struggle for years. And mind you, the power struggle is over about five beehives in a local city park. So we're not talking about tremendous value here. But I believe, honestly believe, that over the last 6 months, if you took murder and adultery out of the Bible, about every other sin possibly has been committed in this bee club, all the way from just hatred, anger, bitterness, backbiting, theft. As one group rose to power, they moved the hives to their own personal property. Another group, the other side, came and stole them back and moved them to another place. And now we're at the point where the sheriff, law enforcement is involved. Several of them have retained lawyers and counsel for the repercussions of this. And so far as the state has actually began to draft legislation to change some of the rules to help deal with this. All of that over a couple of beehives at a local park. But I say that to say this, that is how those are the options for unregenerate man. When a person does not have the Spirit of Christ, their options for dealing with conflict is more conflict. And it escalates to this point where it is in a just, to us, that doesn't make sense. I don't think any of us would even stab somebody in the back over a couple of beehives. Even though I like beehives, I wouldn't fight over them. You know, if you understand, all these people understand beekeeping, and you can take one hive, and in 1 month you can split that one hive into five, and a couple months later you have five hives. But unregenerate man is incapable of solving these problems in a God-fearing way. And so, in what way can you help your leadership concerning this? Is that to be uncommon? Do not handle your problems as unregenerate man and the world handles their problems. The fourth one is avoid strategic alignments. And we see here, we don't know the details, but obviously there was a problem where there was fractures and fissures happening in the Corinthian church. Some were following Paul, some Apollos, and possibly some of them were also following Cephas. And despite how sweet and angelic your leadership team appears, there are times when they have disagreements. At home, we have a leadership team of three, and we meet at least monthly and preparing and planning out for the future of the church, dealing with questions and issues that arise. And in most of the cases, we are united in one voice. Sometimes there's two different opinions. Sometimes there's, among the three of us, there's three different opinions. And I believe we've even already had four different opinions among the three of us. So there's times where there's a difference, and we have to work through those issues as a team. And here's my challenge to you this morning in a way that you can help your church and your leadership team. The way a leadership team, in my opinion, should work is that those issues be worked out among the leadership team and those issues not spill out into the congregation. We've seen that happen from time to time. And when that happens, unfortunately, some of the leadership team may take these issues that you're working through out into the congregation, and quickly lines start to be drawn. A wildfire erupts, and many times it ends with the dissolving of the church, or the divisions in the church. I have full confidence that your leadership team are true men of God, and I have no reason to believe they would ever do that. But in the case that ever happens, one way you can help your leadership team and your church is by not forming alliances in those situations. There is opportunity for you as a congregation to hold us as leaders accountable to do things in the way that we should do. That is one way that you can help your leadership team, is by avoiding unhealthy or strategic alliances. But that also applies to you as a congregation from member to member. What do you do when somebody comes to you and says, well, I heard this about Dale, or I heard this about Junior, or, you know, what do you think about this? How do we respond when somebody may bring an accusation, or somebody may appear to try and drive a wedge between the leadership team? As a congregation, it's your responsibility to be mature Christians and handle that in a mature way. Don't promote gossip that may not be true. Go and find out the truth. Stand for truth. As we talked about Friday night, this church is the foundation and pillar of truth, not only in the community, but in our own lives as well. So avoid strategic alignments. And also, if you look at the end of verse 8, just a word of encouragement for all of us. He says, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That section, those last couple of words, have been an encouragement to me through life. Sometimes we, in life, a reward many times is related to the production or the fruits of our labors. So in other words, if you're a successful businessman, the rewards financially generally are greater. If you do something in the community and it is a success and people see it, you may get an award or recognition for that. But here what Paul is saying is that our rewards really are according to our labors. As pastors, as leaders, sometimes we labor, and we labor, and we labor, and we wonder, where are the fruits of these labors? And in fact, all of us do that. You may have a person that you pray for, and you've prayed for them for years, and your desire is for them to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you pray and you pour out of your time and energies into that, but there seems to be no fruit. And that person may pass on in a state of sin, and you wonder, what are the fruits of my labors? An encouragement to all of us is God looks at our labors. Paul just got done saying here that the increase is given by God. He calls us to labor in spite of the evidence of fruits of those labors. And so if you are laboring in something in life, be encouraged, because God sees that labor. And we don't always understand why, God, don't you give me the increase for all of this labor? But God in his sovereignty and his omniscience does not always reward us for our labors. But he says that those labors will be rewarded in eternity. Moving on, the fifth thing is be a wise builder. In verses 10 to 15, Paul uses an analogy of a foundation and a building that is being built. Today, I believe, Paul says that I laid the foundation, and be careful how you build thereon. As I have known J.R. and Dale for a number of years, I believe God has given you godly leadership and have laid a good foundation. And I believe it is important that you build thereon. Ultimately, God is our ultimate leader, but God has placed in our lives leaders for our time on earth below. And be careful how you build thereon. The next thing is, number six, is honor the temple. And that is in verses 16 to 17. I see we're running out of time. We're going to try and move through this a bit quicker. Verse 16 and 17 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Where is the temple of God? The temple of God is not at 2539 Old 96 Indian Trail. I Googled that. I hope that's correct. That is not the temple of God. But the temple of God is, as Paul says, is within us. We are the temple of God. And the Spirit of God lives within us. And so this temple, our soul is eternal. And some people come to church, as I mentioned before, and say they don't sense the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is not there. And the truth of the matter is, Paul is saying here that the Holy Spirit is within us. And so, that again, that personal responsibility. So how do you help your leaders in honoring the temple? Keep your temple undefiled. Paul says here that if the temple of God is defiled, God is going to destroy him. Allow the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word, to penetrate your hearts. The amount of time that your leaders invest in studying the word of God, praying, seeking direction, is immense. And God has given them as a source of direction for you. And so honor your temple and keep it pure. Seventh thing is humility. Verses 18 to 20, he talks about a person, an individual that thinks of himself as wise in this world, but he's really foolish in front of God. If a congregation is going to succeed, humility is a very important part. We cannot underestimate that. Pride is very destructive, not only to self, but to others as well. And you ask the question, what is pride? Pride is really the elevation of ourself over others. And it's totally counter to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If you think, what is the gospel message? The gospel message is, Jesus said, I will lay down my life so that others may live a better life. And I'm reminded of a saying I read that had to deal with abortion, which we can all agree is just a modern-day evil. But abortion is really the opposite of the gospel message. Abortion says that you are going to die so that I can live a better life. The gospel message is quite the opposite, whereas that I am willing to die so that you might live a better life. And Jesus modeled that for us very well. So how can you be a support for your leaders in the church? That is through humility and self-sacrifice. And obviously a lot of that happens around here. I believe over the last year or two, a lot of that has happened in relation to the thrift store. Obviously somebody gave a lot of time and a lot of efforts and sacrificed a lot of personal enjoyment and opportunities for the sake of the church and the thrift store in support of the chaplaincy program. The last one is number 8, is who will you follow? I want to read again verses 21 to 23. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's and Christ is God's. I wrestled with these couple of verses last evening as I was trying to work through this, and what exactly is Paul telling us here about all these things being yours. And certainly we recognize, I do anyhow, that this passage has a lot to do with personal responsibility and Paul calling us to that. And part of personal responsibility is making choices and deciding in life what we are going to do with our lives and our time. Who are we going to follow? What are we going to follow? What is going to be the focal point of our life? And there's a lot of things that are vying for leadership in your life. Whether it be Hollywood, that is a constant stream of filth that pervades through the whole world. They are constantly seeking to lead and guide people's lives. It may be the latest internet sensation pastor And some of those probably are good. There's some that clearly have an agenda of self-service and mostly in many cases financial prosperity for themselves, but they're also vying for leadership in your life. Politics. You get it too involved in politics, and it can control and direct your life. And it's certainly every 4 years, it seems, in our country, it's unavoidable. It's all around us. My sister lived in Guatemala for 15 years, and we would visit them on occasion. But every election year in Central America, in those nations, it's always times of great unrest. And it feels like our country is becoming almost a third world country where the unrest in an election year is just becoming more and more. Those things are competing for our time and our emotional energy. What about wealth? Wealth is something else that is competing for our time and our energy. And all those things, I believe he is saying here, those things are yours to choose. Are you going to follow Paul or Apollos or Cephas, the world or life or death, things present, things to come? They're all out there. All those things are choices for each one of us. But ultimately, Paul says in verse 21, let no man glory in men. I've called you this morning to be willing followers of your leadership team. And I do that because I believe and I know that they are godly men. And ultimately, the call for us is ultimately to follow God. But he has placed leaders in our lives to provide guidance and direction to us. And I think one way that you can support them is by honoring them and by following them. And this weekend we're also choosing on a journey to add additional leadership here to the church. And yesterday we spent time with Brother Curtis and Brother Harley, and I don't know what it felt like to them. It may have felt like a criminal interrogation. I don't know. But part of our purpose is to find and continue the tradition of godly leadership. And that is why we go through that process of just searching and trying, as John says, try the spirits to see whether they are of God. And so this morning, I can report to you that if it was a criminal interrogation, there was adequate evidence to convict them of being followers of God. And so I believe whoever God calls tonight, I can recommend them to you as future leaders and future people that you can follow as this church walks through this life. And so my challenge this morning is, who or what are you going to follow in life? Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the clear direction that you give us through your word. I thank you for this church, their desire to be committed to you and to be a foundation and a pillar of truth in this community. And Lord, we just ask for your spirit to continue to guide and direct us as we move towards a licensing this evening. Lord, we know that you have chosen a man from among us, and you will reveal that to us this evening. And so we rest in your omniscience and your omnipotence today. May you guide and direct us. In your name we pray. Amen. Turn it back over, or close, or turn it back over.